It's been a tough year. A lot that's gone on. Of course, the sicknesses that we've heard about. We've lost loved ones. We've lost children. It's been rough. Now there's a had that fire there in Colorado with some almost 1,000 homes destroyed. You clock the winds up in that area at 110 miles an hour. And it went so fast that people just barely had a chance to get out. There are fires out through California, here in Arizona, burned just thousands of acres. It hasn't been a very good year. It hasn't been a year that we would like to remember. And yet, God is still here. And God is still with us. And God has not left us. There are times where we may feel despondent or discouraged. There are times where there's possibly tears are shed. There are times when we might even doubt as to, is God even there? There are times where we look around and ask, why? Why is this happening? Why are we having to go through this? And of course, the reason is that this world is sinful. This world is not our home, as the songwriter says. It is because of sin that we have to endure a lot of this stuff. But even through all of that, our salvation still lies in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That particular verse that I read for scripture verses, the 16th chapter of John, was something that I came across years and years ago. And it was something that it was so uplifting. Because stop and think about it just for a moment. In the world you shall have tribulation. That's what we're having right now. We have, even in churches where people refuse to come, we have out in the world, on the streets, where people are fighting each other. And we see these things as Christians, and we ask why. In the world you shall have tribulation. But the promise that Christ gives in that verse, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These verses that I've looked at, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 12, the verses previous to that talk about how God takes care of us. Verse 32 or 28, for example, if then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? God is there, and God will take care of us. I'd like to read from, verse 32 down through verse 40. And reading these words in Jesus' name. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Heavenly Father, these words that you have written upon these pages, Lord, they are truth, for you are truth. So Father, we pray that we would be able to hear them, and that we would be able to leave here filled, and that we would be able to feast upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not talking about this kingdom on this earth. It's his good pleasure. He wants to give us that kingdom in heaven. He's not asking anything of us other than that we believe and have faith in his Son. And he goes on, he's talking about sell what you have and provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and treasure in the heavens that fails not, and where no thief approaches and neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can we say that as we walk through this life, and as we deal with everyday occurrences, whether it be at home or on the job or just going to the store or whatever the case may be, is our heart always there? Is our treasure always there before us, knowing that one day we will be in heaven? It doesn't work that way. There are things that we need to do over through the course of life. There's things that we need to take care of for this earthly existence. But the overall thought needs to be, where is my treasure? Where is my eternal home? Scripture tells us that in all things we give glory to God. It doesn't say only in partial things. It doesn't say only a few things. It doesn't say only a little bit. In all things we give that glory to God. Does that mean we do that when we sit down to eat? Of course. Does that mean when we get up to go to work? Of course. All things God has given us. And all things we need to give to him. And that is the glory that he so richly deserves. So we do not want to hang on to these things, this Christian life, or this physical life, I should say. Those aren't the important things. The important things are our faith. I was reading an article this morning, and I found it rather interesting. Christians were being persecuted. They are today also. But back in the Roman times, in the times of Rome, the Roman Empire, I guess, if you will, Christians were being slaughtered. They were being killed aggressively. But they were being killed for the simple reason that they worshiped a living God. You see, in the Roman Empire, the general thought was that to become a god, you had to die. Well, this is totally contrary to their thinking when you worship a living God. So their way of taking care of that is to kill them. Their way of getting rid of those who were contrary to that thinking was to die. But it's interesting, as I read further along, the more they did of this, the stronger the Christian faith became, and the more converts were attained. Because you see, God's kingdom will never fail. It will never go away. I remember years ago, and I've mentioned this before, but I believe it was Gandhi, that guy from India who was supposed to be kind of a high up. And he made the statement, he said, "Don't persecute the Christians, because the more you do, the stronger they get." He even recognized that that's not something that should be done. God will take care of his kingdom. God will take care of things. We don't always understand it. We don't always know what it is that he is going to do for us. But we do know that he will continue to protect us, to guide us, and to love us. It goes on in verse 35, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning." That term, loins girded about, basically what he's saying, or what is being said here, is get ready for the race. You see, back in those days, back in when these were written, the standard form of dress was just a long robe that hung down into the dirt, into the dust. Well, if there was work that needed to be done, whether it's in the field or whatever, the robes were lifted up and tied up so that there would be freedom of movement. And this is what Christ is saying here. Gird up those loins, gird up that robe, and get ready to move. Get ready to spread the gospel message. And your light's burning. Be an example to the world. Be an example to those who do not know of me. Be an example to those who would receive me. "And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, he may open to him immediately." Back in Christ's time, the weddings lasted for many, many days. When he talks here that they never knew when the bridegroom was going to come. And this is what he's talking about. Be ready for when that bridegroom comes. "And when he comes and knocks, they may open up to him occasionally." No. They may open to him immediately, right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Open up to him immediately. And that's what he wants us to do even today, to open our hearts to him immediately. And that way, so we could be filled. In his verse 37, he said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching, worshiping, praising, living his word. Because I say to you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat," and sit down for a meal, "and will come forth and serve them." Isn't that what Christ taught while he was upon this earth and teaching his disciples? The servant is not better than his master. Christ was an example of a servant, even as we are to be an example of a servant. We are not to raise ourselves up. We are not to think of ourselves any better than anyone else. But think of ourselves as a servant of God. So that when the opportunity approaches, or when we're faced with an opportunity, we serve those who would want to know. Not in a way of being aloof, not in a way of being more important or anything else, but just to be a lowly servant. Just to be someone who has an interest in saving a heart or saving a soul that does not know who he is. To be the servant of God. And he shall come in the end, if he shall, in these next couple of verses, he shall come in the second watch or the third watch, or find them blessed and find them so. Blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken into. We do not know when our time is up. We don't know when God is going to come, but we do not know when our time is up either. Scripture tells us that our days are numbered. Well, they're numbered in such a way that when that time is over, we go home. That's what happens. When our time is up, or our days are over, we need to be ready, so that when God comes, we will be with them that are risen up. It's interesting too that Scripture calls it when a person dies, it doesn't say that he died or that he was dead. It says that he's asleep. Well, if someone is asleep, do we mourn? If someone is asleep, do we carry on and wail and cry and miss them? No, they're asleep. And they will awaken. It's not in this time as we know it, but they will awaken. And God will take them home. Scripture says that those who are asleep will be in the grave will be brought up first. And then those who are left, who are still breathing, if you will follow. That's the way God has planned it. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be alert. He wants us to be responsive to his word. Because if we have known, if we knew when he was going to come, we'll do what we want up until that time, and then we'll turn over a new leaf, so to speak. It's not the way it is. He wants us to live our faith. He wants us to be who we are, a child of God. He does not want us to go off on our own, but he wants us to follow him. And in verse 40, he says, "Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at a time or an hour when you don't think about it." It's going to be a surprise. It's not going to be something that we're going to look at and say, "Oh, here he comes." No. It's not going to be that way. So oftentimes when I get up in the morning, I usually get up before the sun comes up. And on those mornings like this morning, there's no clouds in the sky and everything was clear. And as that sun arose, the whole horizon was just glimmering white. It was just glimmering to the point of almost being hard to even look at. And I've seen that before. When I look at that, I can envision what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. But that light is going to be so intense. It's going to be so bright that we're just not going to be able to look at it. But we will know who it is. And we will be able to follow him. We will be able to worship him and praise him and thank him for what he has done. So may we, in these days ahead, because it's not over, we're going to be facing some tough times. It's not done. But if we were to remind ourselves that God is still in control, God still is in charge. And if I would put aside my thoughts, desires, understandings, opinions, if I could put those aside and just offer a prayer to God that, Father, that you would lead me in the way that I ought to go, in the way that I need to go, and forget about all of these things that I think I ought to do or what I think should be done, or I would just forget about that stuff because it's not important. God doesn't need it, nor does he want it. He wants me to worship him. He wants me to praise him. He wants me to trust him. And to that end, I hope that I can, and I pray that I will. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.